Good morning. Everyone enjoy the extra hour in bed? Anyone else feeling hungry because it's now lunchtime? Don't worry. Right. So, humility, that's an interesting subject. And as Robin said, it's part of the living a God-honoring life that we're working through at the moment. And I tell you what, this has been a tough subject for me to prepare for. I've struggled with this whole humility and being humble thing for ages. It's linked to other stuff that I've been struggling with for years and stuff that I really believe in the last couple of years I've finally started to be set free from. And my struggle, as I've told you before, is one of feeling unworthy, condemned mainly by myself. And I suppose really thinking, how can God use me because I'm nowhere near holy enough? And the more I tried to become holy, the more I tried to become worthy, the more and more I failed. Until I had some revelations a couple of years ago, mainly that I can't do anything, but it's Christ in me who's my holiness. I can rely on him, the one who is holy, who lives in me. And so my problem with humility has also really been linked to my problem of unworthiness. And even now, I still struggle to accept praise because in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking, you don't know what I'm really like. That's me on the inside. But fortunately for myself, and rather annoyingly for everyone else, my overriding characteristic is huge, massive optimism, which does lead to an annoying level of overconfidence. But you see, I 100% believe that God made me, God made you, and I believe that all of my characteristics and virtues, and also yours, are from him. He made me exactly like I am. He made you exactly like you are. Now, I tell you what, sometimes I'm not sure why he actually made me like I am, but I 100% know and trust that he did. I am not an accident. You are not an accident. But we are all part of his marvelous design. Most being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So, on the one hand, I've had this struggle for years with unworthiness and condemnation. But then in the last year or two, I've had this amazing revelation of who I am in Christ. And I tell you what, I'm still working my way through that. So, right now at the start, before we get going, let's get one thing straight. True humility or God-given humility is not the result of having a poor self-image. I haven't got humility or I'm not a humble person. We're not humble people because we feel so unworthy and so bad about ourselves. After all, Jesus Christ displayed perfect humility and he definitely did not have a worthiness issue. So let's start looking at humility and what it really is according to God's word in the Bible. In the Bible, the word humility can be summarized quite simply, I think, as putting the needs and interests of others before our own. And one of the first things that I've learned whilst preparing for today is that whilst humility can be a quality or characteristic of our personality, it's not something that we're born with. We are not naturally humble people. It's something that we have to work at. It's a discipline we have to work at. You only have to look at small children to notice that. Naturally, we always put ourselves first, don't we? We naturally put our interests in front of other people's interests. It's like our default setting is somehow to be selfish. But the thing is, we're commanded that if we want to follow Christ, we have to deny ourselves. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And in 1 Peter, Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So before we go any further and try and work out how we can possibly become humble, let's just pause here for a second, because I think there's three quite sobering, challenging issues arising from humility when we view it from the Christian or the biblical perspective. Firstly, although humility is most definitely a Christ-like quality and characteristic, you see, Jesus always acted in perfect humility. In our culture, in the West especially, humility is not understood. It's not thought to be a good thing. And although in public, people applaud humble, generous, kind people, in reality, in the secular world, people think that humility is maybe a sign of weakness. Most secular models of strong leadership, for example, would think it's strange if a prominent leader displayed humility. Even to the point that if we bend our knee to help others, or maybe even admit our own weakness, it would make us vulnerable and we would be replaced because we're not deemed to be strong enough. And in the setting I personally work in, although thankfully not in the company I actually work for, you know what? Most leaders and managers view themselves as people who need to be served. They don't associate themselves with the lower ranks. Although we're supposed to be in the age where the them and us no longer exists, I tell you what, it is exactly the same as it has always been. The thing is, though, this is not the way of God's kingdom. Humility is something that we're called to do, called to be. Now, the second issue I've sort of come up against, and probably the most challenging, we love, don't we, seeing humility in other people. It's fantastic, isn't it, when we see humble people. But if we're really honest with ourselves, do we want it for ourselves? You see, humility costs us something, doesn't it? And the price is too high. And let's be honest, in life, humility is not what gets us ahead, is it? It's great having humble people around us because they don't threaten our own position. And you know what? We're not the only people to struggle with this. The disciples struggled with it as well. In Mark chapter 9, verse 33, they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, this is Jesus, what were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last, the servant of all. I love Jesus' response here. It turns our own natural thinking on its head, doesn't it? To get ahead in God's kingdom, you have to serve all. And the third thing, something that we've already touched on, Christ-like humility is not the result of us having low self-esteem. And in the past, religious legalism, authority figures, and maybe even a pastor or priest, but not here, would have told us to focus on our own shortcomings, our own unworthiness, how unqualified we are, to somehow drive humbleness into us. The thing is, though, that is not the truth. We are called to be humble and display humility just like Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ did not become humble because he focused on how unworthy he was. Jesus most definitely did not have an inferiority complex. Jesus Christ never, ever struggled with insecurity. Jesus is God. How could he? And the amazing, awesome thing for us is we are called to act and display the same characteristic of Jesus Christ. And I can tell you now, there is only one way we can get the characteristics of Jesus Christ, and that is straight from him. And this, I think, is the most fundamental, important thing of all. Once we get the full revelation of who we are in Christ, boom. So, we're all now secure in Christ, aren't we?
Yeah?
We're still on the journey. We're getting there, aren't we? We're getting there. We're free from condemnation. We're no longer insecure. I'll tell you why. Because we are in him. We're no longer unworthy because he is in us. So, with that in mind, how can we learn this discipline of humility as Jesus Christ displayed? Or how can we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, as Peter put it? So we're going to look at some passages from the Bible to help us get to grips with the question. The first is from Mark 10, verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. Now, when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Wouldn't it be fantastic if we could become humble and display humility just by hanging around with other humble people? The disciples proved that that isn't the case, though, didn't they? They hung around with Jesus. James and John, the two brothers in this passage, they're like a couple of kids with their dad, aren't they? Dad, we want to ask you for something and we want you to say yes. James and John knew that Jesus was one day going to be on the throne, and they wanted to be by his side higher than anybody else. They didn't want to serve anybody else. Do you know what? I think there's quite a tricky challenge in there for us as well, isn't there? We're all out for Jesus, aren't we? We're sold for him. We're happy to follow him. We're happy to obey him. But what about having to serve another person? I mean, other people may abuse the power and authority that God has given them. I don't know about you, but it's hard enough to follow Jesus who is perfect, let alone anyone else. But if I give up my place, or if I give up my comfort for the sake of another sinner, now that is far more difficult. Do you know what I love about this passage? Jesus does not rebuke James or John. He simply responds, you do not know what you're asking. Jesus tells them the seats next to him are not going to be filled on a first come, first served basis. Now, quite understandably, the other 10 disciples, they're a bit peeved at James and John. Probably because they all wanted to sit in the same place and they wished they'd asked the question themselves. But Jesus, he gives the disciples a great lesson in humility here. To start with, he shows them how it is in the world. He tells them about the world and leaders and how they lord it over the people and exercise their authority. Then straight away, he makes a comparison with God's kingdom and says, but not for you. In God's kingdom, there is no status or privileged rank. The lower class do not serve the upper class. In fact, in God's kingdom, quite the opposite happens. In Mark 10:43, Jesus says, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. How can we apply these teachings from Jesus into our own lives and situations today? And I think the challenge to what Jesus is saying is, guys, if you want to follow me, if you want to be like me, you've got to start at the bottom. I came to serve. I gave my life for all. If you want to be like me, you've got to do the same. And I think our biggest culture, if I can stereotype us in the West, our biggest problem in the West is that we want everything, but we want to do as little as possible to achieve it. You only have to look around society and in communities to see that evident. But let's not get political. You see, I am always brought back to that verse in Matthew 16:24, when Jesus says to the disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. I love that verse, even though it is massively challenging. But it's so simple and straight to the point, isn't it? Next, we're going to look at Paul's letter to the Philippians, Philippians 2:3-11. Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So here is another call to humility, this time from the Apostle Paul. Let's carry on reading. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. That sounds a bit like Isaiah, doesn't it, that we read earlier? Funny that. Isn't it funny, in the second part of this passage from Paul, there is a massive downwards trend. It starts at the top with glory and the riches of heaven and ends right down at the bottom with the worst kind of death. Just so that one day you and I can be lifted up. Now, I don't know about you, but every time when I consider what Christ has done for me, it just makes me want to be humble. When I read these words from Philippians, it really challenges me to think about what I actually do. And the reason is, everything I am, everything I have, every good thing that I enjoy would not be possible if it was not for Jesus Christ. And you know what? It gets me thinking. If Christ did that for me, if Christ did that for all of us, what can we do, small and rubbish in comparison to what he did for others in our lives? For the people that I come into contact with, it's really quite serious and sobering, isn't it? The truth is, and this is the truth, we exist, we are who we are, our identity is in him because of the price he paid. The challenge to us is, the more we think about and understand how Jesus completely humbled himself, even to death for us, how then can we put the needs of others before our own? So finally, let's turn back to the words of Peter in 1 Peter 5, 5 to 7. Peter says, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." And this is my favorite verse from this passage. "Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." In these verses, Peter urges everyone, young and old, to clothe themselves with humility towards each other. And I love that last verse. "Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." I think that is one of the keys as to why people, especially in the secular world, have an issue with humility. It's because of worry or anxiety, isn't it? How many times have we heard, how many times have we maybe even muttered ourselves, "If we don't look out for ourselves, nobody else will." Or my favourite, personally, "If I don't do it for myself, nobody else will." We're taught in society, aren't we, since we were very little, that if we want something or if we want to be something, then we have to look after ourselves in order to achieve it. Now, the key for us as followers of Jesus Christ is that we do not have to think or worry like this. Peter says, "Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." If we really believe that, if we really believe that God cares for us, then logically, taking it to its logical conclusion, we do not need to worry about serving our own interests, do we? God has got it covered. He cares for us. And guys, this is truly liberating. God cares for us. When he adopted us, when we became his, all the riches of heaven were made available to us. So, that means we can now focus all of our attention on serving others, on meeting the needs of others, because we can be 100% sure that God will not spare anything in his infinite resources in meeting our own needs. He has already met our biggest need. He spared his son to save us. Whew, so that's the weighty, and tricky bits gone. But you know what? Once again, I find myself personally challenged and brought back to that verse from Jesus. What can I do today to deny myself and put others' needs before my own? And I want to finish with this really important bit. It's something that I keep coming back to recently. Something that I keep needing to remind myself of. It's part of the journey that I'm on at the moment. guys, the reality is some days we're going to hit this humility thing on its head. Other days, we're going to feel rotten and probably the most selfish people on the planet. Most days, probably. But the really, really, really important thing is we are no longer condemned. Romans 8:1-2 tells us, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And Jesus himself in the Gospel of John 3:17-18, John says in the Gospel, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Does anyone believe in Jesus here this morning? Guys, this is a really, really, really important truth. We cannot earn salvation. We cannot even make ourselves remotely worthy enough for God. We don't need to. He has already done it. It is done. It is done. Finished. 1 Corinthians 1:30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. It is not because of you. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become our wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. I mean, obviously, we got to do something. It sounds a bit easy, doesn't it? But our only part in all of this, we just need to keep turning to him. We need to keep looking to him. We need to keep following him. Everything else, and I mean absolutely everything, is all him. There is no magical formula. There is no method. Look to him. It is done. Not it is doing. It is done. It's already been done. Because of him, not us. So if that is the case, which it is, what compels us then to tackle some of the disciplines like humility? It's not because we're trying to do something good or somehow trying to earn some brownie points or even our own salvation. That is a complete waste of time. We cannot do it. We don't need to. I'm going to say it again. He has already done it. We don't need to become somehow worthy. We cannot. He is our holiness. We don't need to worry about it. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That means that the only thing that compels us is love. When we read that verse in Philippians, when we read other verses in the gospel about Jesus Christ, when we consider what he did, that he did absolutely everything for us, we are all we are because of him. You know what, guys? I love him so much. And because I love him so much, it means I want to do whatever I can for him. Not for myself, because he has already taken care of myself, but because I love him. Because I love him. because of what he has already done for me, I want to do as much as I can, whatever I can for him. So then, it wouldn't be right if we didn't have a challenge at the end, would it? So let's just spend a few seconds, a few moments now, maybe with our eyes closed. Let's consider for a moment. Let's consider what he has already done for us. We don't need to beat ourselves up when we get it wrong. And we're going to get it wrong. We just need to turn back to him. That's what the word repent means. It means turn back. The minute we turn back, we are completely restored. No condemnation. So I really want to challenge us all this week and in the future. Let's consider again and again and again. What can we do to act with humility just like Jesus Christ has already shown us? Jesus always put the needs of other people before his own. Because he has done such amazing things for us, because we love him so much. Not to better ourselves, but because we just want to express some sort of gratitude to what he has already done. What can we do to act in humility like him to others? How can we put other people before our own? I tell you what, it is a completely alien concept to our thinking. Our thinking says, me, 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 me. What about me? God's kingdom is the absolute reverse of that. But it doesn't mean that we get forgotten, because it says, cast all your anxiety on him and he cares for you. How much better is it that he cares for you? He can do so much more than you can. So our challenge, when we consider what Christ has done, what can we do to act with humility just like Jesus has already shown us? I tell you what, it will probably be something completely different for every single person in this room. But I tell you something else, I bet that you're already all thinking about what that thing is. That thing's just a start, by the way. We've got to keep on doing it. We've got to keep looking at him and turning to him. So, whatever that thing was, whatever that thing is, whatever the things carry on being, let's just get on and do it. Let's just get out there and do it. Let's do our best to follow Christ and act with humility just like he did. So if the band want to come up, and if you all want to stand, we'll just pray. Should we stand together as we prepare to give thanks to the one on the throne who has given everything for us? Oh. Oh, Jesus, oh, Heavenly Father. Lord, we're so, so grateful that you spared your Son. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him may not die but have eternal life." Lord, what an amazing act of humility. You gave up absolutely everything. You went lower than we can possibly imagine, and lower than any of us will probably ever get. Compelled by amazing, perfect love. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much. You're so amazing, such an amazing love. Lord, we're sorry when we muck it up. Lord, we're sorry when we don't act with humility and humbleness like you taught us to. But Lord, I thank you that you're patient. I thank you that you don't just kick us out. And that, Lord, when we look to you, you restore us right back to that place in your family with that amazing eternal inheritance. Lord, open our eyes this week. Open our eyes with humbleness and with humility as we look to others, especially in our families, in our friends, in our workplaces, schools, on our streets, wherever we find ourselves. Lord, we don't find ourselves anywhere by accident, but because you have sent us. Lord, thank you that wherever we go, you are with us. Lord, we cast all our anxieties on you, all our fears, all our worries on you. Lord, we embrace the truth of what you have done. Lord, it is all about you. It is all you. Help us shake off the mindset that it's about us. Thank you, we no longer stand in condemnation. And so, Lord, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you for what you have done for us. Lord, equip us to display the same humility as you do. Fill our hearts with humbleness and mercy to other people. Help us to deny ourselves and put other people before ourselves. And so, Lord, send us out in the power of your Spirit this morning. We can't do it without you. Lord, we're here for you. It's all about you.